Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
I'm beginning a brand new series, 3 weeks, on how to share your hope. How to share your hope. I think it's very relevant because people are more hopeless than ever before. There are more suicides than ever before. More people on medication, more people on different addictions than ever before. Trying to handle the stress and the pain and the trouble that we're all experiencing. So I want to talk to you about how do you share your hope with other people. The word hope in the Bible is defined as Bible hope as a happy, I like that, happy, confident expectation of something good in your future. Hope, don't you like the sound of the word hope? It just kind of gives you hope, doesn't it? Hope is a happy, confident expectation. It's not a wishing and a hoping. You've heard that before, right? A wishing is not hoping, okay? Bible hope is you have a happy, confident expectation of something good in your future. Hope looks beyond where you are today. Hope looks beyond where you are today. If you don't have a future, you don't see a future, you are paralyzed right in your tracks, right where you are right now. And that's not God's will. So Bible hope, we're to share our hope with other people. And Bible hope is a happy, everybody say happy, confident expectation of something good in your future. Now that will get you through today. If you believe it's going to get better tomorrow, you won't quit today. If you believe things are going to change for the better tomorrow, you won't commit suicide, quit, give up, take drugs, alcohol, do something crazy. If we really believe, if we really have that Bible hope on the inside, that we have a happy mindset, a confident expectation that tomorrow is going to be better, that God has something good in your future. Now, the hope we're going to talk about in this passage, you have to understand that 1 Peter, there's a 1st and 2nd Peter, am I right? 1st and 2nd Peter, I'll make sure I'm reading the right book. 1st and 2nd Peter, and 1st Peter is all about how to live as a Christian in a hostile world. 1st Peter, that book in the Bible, is a manual. It gives us direction, it arms us, it prepares us on how do you live as a Christian in a hostile world. Right now, we are living in a hostile world. We're living in a world that's gone crazy. Christians are under attack like never before. We're being persecuted. Around the world this morning, there are people actually getting their heads chopped off for being a Christian. So we're in a time like no other time, and we're in a world that's gone hostile. And I've heard a lot of you have come to me, actually through email, through messages, Pastor, how am I supposed to stand up for God today? How am I supposed to keep my witness today? Well, I'm going to answer those questions and more during this series. So 1 Peter, the whole book, take time to read it over the next 3 weeks. It's all about how do you keep your Christian witness? How do you stay salt and light? How do you be a city on a hill? How do you keep from compromising your faith? How do you keep from watering your faith down, backsliding? Going off one end or the other of the road. How do you do that? So 1 Peter is all about that, and he's going to talk about, in just a minute, be ready. Sounds like T.D. Jakes, right? Get ready, get ready, get ready. Be ready and prepared always on every occasion to share your hope. We're going to read it. It's in verse 15. Be ready, be prepared at all times to share your hope with other people. That's where I got the title for the series. It's a scripture. It's verse 15. Now, listen very carefully because I've taught lots of series on hope over the last 38 years here. I love to teach on hope. I love to teach on having a dream, a goal, a vision, having hope in the future. I love doing that, you know, but I'm not talking about that in this series, that kind of hope. I'm not talking about a hope for a better house or a better car, a better job, a better situation. Now, that's all good, and God wants us to hope for those things, but I'm not talking about hope for natural things. I'm talking about we should share our hope with other people. I'm referring to our faith in God. We should share our hope or our faith. And actually, if you really want to study it out for yourself, and you really want to look at commentaries and Bible dictionaries, the word hope there, what we're about to read, is a reference to eternal life. Eternal life. So we're supposed to share with other people our hope, which is eternal life. That for you and me as Christians, as Christ followers, as believers, that means that the grave is not the end. The grave is not the end. We've had two funerals this last week at Church on the Rock, members of our church, and they loved the Lord with all their heart, and we had their funerals this last week. But the good news is for their family is that is not the end of their life. That is not the end. The grave is not the end. Should the Lord tarry, all of us have a funeral in our future. Yours. Are you ready? But the key is that you need to know that your funeral is not the end of your life. That the grave is not the end. That's the hope you and I have. Knowing I'm a pilgrim right now passing through. Knowing that everything I'm going through is subject to change. Knowing that this life is temporary in preparation for the next life. Knowing that this too shall pass. Knowing that I'm going to spend with my family, my friends, with Abraham, with David, with Paul, with Jesus, with the Father, throughout eternity. That's my hope. That's what gives me hope. Knowing I'm going to live forever throughout eternity with God. All right, y'all with me now? Okay, so for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to your prayers. Now remember, this is all about how do you live as a Christian in a hostile world against Christians. Persecution, accusation, all right, threats, malice. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Next verse, guys, verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Followers of God. Followers of what is good. People will be out to harm you for your faith. Verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Notice two words, suffer or blessed. I think you and I as Christians in this day and hour that we're living in, that we should be sharing our hope with other people or our faith, or what gives us hope is eternal life, knowing we have eternal life, that we're going to live forever, that this too shall pass. 70, 80, 90 years are very short compared to eternity, right? So even if we go through being suffering for being a Christian, which many of us are, and more of it's coming, and my job as I love you is to prepare you and arm you for the persecution that's coming. Got a wailing prophet over here, okay? But if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are what? Blessed. I can't hear you. You are what? Blessed. So the mindset for you and I in this hour that we're living in should not be, oh, woe is me. Poor me. I'm a Christian. Look at all that I'm going through. Nobody likes me. Guess I'll go eat worms. All right? Some of you know that song. The mindset should not be, I'm suffering for Jesus. Oh, how bad that it is. Oh, feel sorry for me. No, our mindset should be, we're blessed. We're blessed. And in the midst of the suffering, God declares we're blessed. So if God declares it, let's us agree with his declaration over our life. Instead of focusing on the suffering, the persecution, the hard time, the hostility against Christians and the church, taking away our freedoms, let's focus on God said, in the middle of it, I declare you're blessed. Have a blessed mindset instead of a suffering mindset. And do not be afraid of all their threats. Don't be afraid. So how should we respond? Not like the world responds. Our response should not be fear, worry, fretting, panic, getting upset. He said, even if you suffer, they're threatening you, take away your freedoms, your very life. They're hostile against you. They're angry. They're mad. They're malicious. They do evil things. He said, don't focus on the suffering. Focus on that God has called you blessed in the midst of it. And don't respond with fear. And don't respond by being troubled, upset, and anxious. Wow. Just that right there would be a witness of our hope to other people. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready, always be ready, always be ready to defend to everyone who asks you a reason, here's the word, for the hope that is in you, but do it with the right attitude of meekness and fear. Now, let's break that verse down. It's called expository teaching, but it's powerful. It's packed with revelation. So how do I live as a Christian and not compromise my faith? How do I live in a Christian in a nation that's trying to be ungodly and go ungodly? And you do know what happens when a nation goes ungodly. Judgment of God is on that nation. So we don't want our nation to go ungodly. So it's time for the church to stand up and have a voice. And have a large, loud, strong voice. So what do? We sanctify, that means set apart, the Lord God in your hearts. Now that word sanctify means to separate, but also it means to acknowledge and recognize. So how do we respond to a tough day at work when we're persecuted for our faith, for our devotion to God, to the church, to our Christianity? What should we do? Stop. Sanctify or recognize and acknowledge Jesus as Lord over your life. You need to stop and recognize who God is, what God can do, and recognize His nature and His character. Now watch this. When you and I stop and we sanctify, or that's not a word you and I would use very often, so acknowledge God and recognize Him as Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tiskenu, Jehovah Nissi, right? As we acknowledge Him as all-powerful, all-knowing, or as we acknowledge Him as, you know, the all-sufficient one, the all-knowing one, the Most High God, what happens? You release the power of God. We need the power of God to share our hope or faith, or where our hope and faith comes from, having eternal life because of Jesus Christ. We need boldness. We need a power that we don't have on our own, a power that we won't compromise. We won't give in. We won't shut up. We won't be silent saints, right? Is that we recognize and acknowledge Jesus, You are Lord. And You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no changing with You. You're the Alpha, the Omega. You're the lily of the valley. You're the rose of Sharon. You are the Alpha. You are all in all. When you do that, it releases His power. So now you have the power of God. Now always be ready. Always be ready. Always be ready to give a defense to everybody who asks you the reason why aren't you upset. Why aren't you troubled? Why aren't you on drugs? Why aren't you shooting up things in your veins? Why aren't you suicidal? Why aren't you negative? Why aren't you critical? Why aren't you a racist? Why aren't you a bigot? Why aren't you sarcastic? Why aren't you defeated? So then the door opens. These are the worst of times and the best of times. They're the worst of times, but they're the best of times for you and I to share our hope, our faith that comes from knowing we have eternal life. We're going to live forever and ever and ever with God, our family, and our friends who've gone on before us. Yeah. What happens then is that you and I should know what we believe. If you're a note taker, know what you believe. This is a takeaway. Know what you believe. And then number two, be skillful in saying it. Be skillful in saying it. What does that mean, Pastor? I got to go to college? No. What I'm saying here is it says, say it with meekness and fear. That means with humility and respect. We are to respect one another. We are to honor one another. We're not to come on as being holier than thou or superior or better. We're not to come on degrading people or putting people down or preaching them hellfire and brimstone. Can I have a witness in the house? So we are to not only know what we believe, number one. Number two, we are to be skillful with having persuasive speech. Take away then number three, every day ask God for an opportunity to come your way to share how come you have this hope on the inside when the world is hopeless. Y'all with me, family? So sanctify, it means acknowledge and recognize, declare who he is. It releases his power. We call it the anointing. Always be ready. Always. That would mean Monday morning, Thursday afternoon, Friday night. Always be ready when the opportunity arises to everybody who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. But make sure we have the right attitude. Make sure that we don't do it as a holier-than-thou, super spiritual, we know it all, but make sure we do it with the right persuasive speech and we're skilled at saying it with the right attitude. You with me, family? So I'm going to run through this again, but I want to read it from the New Living Translation for sake of time. Look what it says. Instead, here's how we respond in a hostile world towards Christianity. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. While we're not going to worry, we're going to worship God. We're going to declare, Jesus is Lord over my emotions. Jesus is Lord over my family, my business, my career, my education. Jesus is Lord over my future. So instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if somebody asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. So I need to know what I believe. Then I need to be skillful in saying it, because you'll never win an enemy to Christ. I'm going to come over here on this side. I'll never win an enemy to Christ. It's called friendship evangelism. I'll never win an enemy to Christ. I'll never win someone to Christ through an argument. Won't happen. So I must worship Christ as the Lord of my life. And if somebody asks me, where'd you get that hope as a believer? You're acting or reacting, responding differently. I mean, you've got joy and peace and hope in a hopeless world. Where'd you get that? Well, you know what? I've got eternal life. You go, what? Yeah, you know, I want to tell you my story. Jesus came into my life. I believe that he's the Son of God. Really? Yeah, he died for me. He rose again. He's risen. And I've made him the Lord of my life. And now I've got eternal life. Knowing that, knowing my future, I'm not worried about the present. Oh, I want some of that. I'll take some of that. Well, let me show you how to do it. So instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. If someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it to them. Always be ready. What should the church be doing right now? You got a lot of pastors, a lot of churches saying a lot of different things right now. But I'll tell you why you and I are still here. I got born again when I was 11 years old. Why didn't God just kill me at 11 and take me to heaven? Because he left me here to fulfill the Great Commission. You and I are here. We're left here. This is the reason why we are here. This is God's purpose and plan for our life. This is what the church should be focusing on right now, is the Great Commission. And what is that? Mark 16:15. Jesus said to them, so wherever you go in the world, tell everyone the good news. Tell everyone the good news, the hope that's in you. Why are you responding differently? Why your outlook on the future is differently? What's giving you that hope? Eternal life. Making Jesus the Lord of my life. Knowing that this life is preparation for the next life. Knowing that I'm just passing through. I want to make the most of this life to be rewarded in the next life. So go everywhere and tell everybody the good news. That's why we're expanding all of our ministries at Church on the Rock. Through your help. Through your prayers. through your generosity. That's why we're reaching more people than ever before, because this is what we should be about. Not division, not fussing, not fighting, not quarreling, not stirring up things. We should be about the Great Commission. Evangelism, sharing the hope that's in us when people say, you're up, you're positive, you're not worried, you're not afraid, you're not gossiping, you're not backbiting. What makes the difference in your life? And then you have an opportunity to share the hope that's in you. What is that hope? You know that your future is beyond this life. You have been given eternal life through Jesus Christ. So that's the good news, and that's the hope that is in us as believers. Let me give you John 3:15-16. This is huge. Y'all ready? Y'all still with me? Everybody awake? Okay. John 3:15. That whoever believes in him, Jesus, you will not perish, but have eternal life. Notice there are two options there, everybody. Two options. Yeah. Perishing or eternal life. Perishing or eternal life. All of us are going to live for eternity, but some are going to have eternal life and some eternal damnation or perishing. There's only two options, heaven or hell. Now, I'm talking about this today because people in the world don't want to hear this message. They attack it. They don't understand it. They don't want to hear it, all right? They don't want to believe that there's a real hell, and a lot of them don't even believe there's a real heaven. But what should motivate us to do the Great Commission, what should motivate us to share the hope that's on the inside of us, is knowing there's a real heaven, there's a real hell, and we don't want anybody to go to hell. We want all of our friends and all of our family to go to heaven with us. But there are two options, only two. There's not purgatory. You're not going to come back as a cat. Reincarnation. There's only two, heaven or hell. Whoever believes in him, you won't perish, but have eternal life. Next verse, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, here are the two options once again, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Only two choices, God or not God, Jesus or not Jesus, heaven or hell, eternally perishing or eternal life. All of us will live forever, one place or another, heaven or hell. Verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But he who does not believe in the Son. How many know it's a choice when we hear the good news to reject it or accept it? It's a choice to believe in the Son of God or not believe in the Son of God. So we have two options, perishing or everlasting life, heaven or hell. This is our motivation as a church to run with the Great Commission, to go through evangelism, to share our hope with other people when we have an opportunity. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But if you do not believe in the Son, you will not see life, but the wrath of God will abide on you. Again, only two options, everlasting life or perishing. There's a real hell and there's a real heaven. And we don't want anybody to go to hell. We want everybody we know to go to heaven with us. Can I have a witness at Church on the Rock? 2 Thessalonians 1:8, talking about hell, in flaming fire. So we know from the scriptures, if you believe the Bible, hell is a place where there is unquenchable fire, real fire. Where is it, Pastor? In the center of the earth, in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God. Right now, our nation doesn't want to know God, doesn't want to have anything to do with God, is trying to push God out of our nation. What happens when you do that? Judgment on that nation. But notice, it's a choice. Hell's a real place with unquenchable fire in the middle of the earth, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and those who what? Refuse to obey when they hear it, the good news. They refuse when they hear it. They disobey it. They don't want it. It's their choice. They rejected the good news, the gospel, the hope that's in you and me, our sharing our faith and our hope. They said, we don't want it. We refuse it. We don't want to live that way or obey that. Hell is for those people. Next verse, verse 9. They will be punished, well, look at this, with eternal destruction. Eternal life or eternal destruction. Forever separated. Boy, hell will be terrible, won't it? You and I won't know it, but we've read about it. It's unquenchable fire. There's complete darkness, gnashing and grinding of teeth, continual torment. In hell, you'll remember all the opportunities you had to receive the good news and rejected it for eternity. You'll remember all your mistakes, all your sin, all your foul-ups, all your failures, all the rejection of every time you heard the good news, the gospel, and you said no. You'll remember that throughout eternity in eternal destruction, damnation, and punishment. Forever separated from the Lord and from His glorious power. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We don't want anybody to go there. When He comes on that day, Jesus, He'll receive glory from His holy people. That's you and me. Praise from all who believe. Now, I want to go back to that verse in the Living Bible. Look what it says. When Jesus comes to receive praise, when He comes to receive praise and admiration from because of all that He's done for you and me, His saints, you will be among those who are praising Him because you believed what was told to you about Him from the Bible. You believed the good news when you heard it. You believed when you heard God loved you so much. He sent His Son to die for you. He went to a hell, defeated death, hell, and a grave, rose on the third day. The first fruit of many brethren and sistren, amen, is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, praying and interceding for you and me, soon to be coming back to get the church and take it to heaven with Him. When you hear that and you believe that, then you have received now eternal life. You don't wait to the grave to get eternal life. When you receive Him as Lord and Savior, at that moment, your spirit that was dead is brought to life. And you receive everlasting eternal life at that moment. Can we have a praise break? Hallelujah. Come on, give God a big praise break. Matthew chapter 7. What I'm bringing to your attention is we're talking about this hope and that we should share this hope when doors open up. And the hope is our faith in Christ. And what it's given to us is eternal life. It's a joyful, happy, confident expectation of the future of where you're going in the next life. It gets you through this life as an overcomer and making the most of this life. It helps us to respond not in fear or worry or panic, but in faith and in confidence and expectation that the best days of your life are in front of you, and they're throughout eternity, and they never end. That should motivate us, knowing there's a real hell, a real heaven, and we don't want anybody to go to hell. We want everybody that we can get them to heaven, right? Matthew 7, everybody still awake? Verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to hell, destruction, and many go there. Verse 14, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to heaven, and only a few go there. The majority of the human race will go to hell because they refuse the good news when they hear it. They don't want to obey it. They want to do their own thing. They want to be the God of their own life, all right? But God has given all of us a choice, heaven or hell, everlasting life or everlasting perishing. It's up to the human being to make that choice. God won't force it on anybody. Next verse, guys, next verse. Luke 16, 19. Now, this is a real story that happened. This is not a parable. And this is a story of two men that died. One went to Abraham's bosom and one went to hell. Abraham's bosom was a compartment in the middle of the earth where the saints of the Old Testament, when they died, they went there. When Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, he led captive captivity and he took them to heaven with him. Now when a Christian dies, you don't go to Abraham's bosom. You are present with the Lord in heaven immediately. All right? So here's a story of real heaven and a real hell. It's not a parable. There was really a certain man, a certain rich man, who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Next verse, guys. But there was a certain beggar, so a rich dude and a beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, was laid at the gate. Verse 21. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, Lazarus. Next verse. So it was that the beggar died. Watch this now. Don't miss it. When the beggar died, he was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham's bosom was that compartment in the middle of the earth where Old Testament saints went before the New Testament, before Jesus rose from the dead, okay? And so what I want you to see here, though, is that when a Christian dies, angels carry them, escort them to heaven. Do y'all see that? He was carried, he was escorted by angels to Abraham's bosom. Today, as a believer, as a Christian who's in a hostile world, sharing our hope with other people as often as we can, our faith, our witness, you and I realize that when we go by the grave, and should the Lord tarry, there's a funeral in all of your future. All of you are going to die, and there's going to be a funeral for you, all right? Are you ready for that? But when Christians die, angels escort them to heaven. How cool is that? And the Bible also says your loved ones are waiting over there to receive you. Did you know that? Old Testament. It says when Abraham died, those who went before him, his family, were waiting to receive him. So they're waiting. Angels escort him to Abraham's bosom. But the rich man died, and he was buried. Next verse, verse 23. And being in torment in Hades, that's hell. So notice, we know there's unquenchable fire, complete darkness, gnashing and grinding of teeth, tormenting, never stops. No presence of God, what you're feeling here today. No good there, nothing. Being tormented in hell, he lifted up his eyes, real hell, real heaven. And he saw Abraham afar off. Notice, he's in hell, but he remembered, he recognized Abraham in heaven. You will remember the people that you met on earth in hell, if they're there. Or in heaven, you'll remember the people you knew on earth in heaven as well. You'll be recognizable. And being in torment in hell, he lifted up his eyes, saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham. Notice he recognized Father Abraham. Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. He recognized the beggar, that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in flames. Real hell, real flame, real hot, real terrible. Verse 25. Now, we're not trying to scare anybody into heaven. What we're talking about today is the Great Commission and sharing our hope with other people, our faith, knowing we have eternal life. Amen. Because we don't want anybody to go to hell. But Abraham said, son, remember. You see the word remember? People in hell will remember all their opportunities that they wouldn't accept. People in hell will remember the opportunities to receive the good news and rejected it. Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received good things. Likewise, Lazarus got evil things, but now he's comforted and you're tormented. Verse 26. And besides this, between us, there's a great gulf fixed. Remember, that's before the resurrection in the New Testament. That's Old Testament. That's compartments in the middle of the earth. And besides all this, between us, there's a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to over there, they can't do that. Verse 27. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. He's in hell and remembers his family back on earth. He remembers his brothers. He remembers his family. And he doesn't want his family to go to hell. Verse 28, as Ezekiah comes out. For I have five brothers that they may testify to them, lest they also come to this place. It's a real place. The world doesn't want to accept it. But nevertheless, the Bible says, if you believe the Bible, hell and heaven are real places. Lest they also come to this place of torment. Next verse. Abraham said to him, they have Moses. They have pastors and teachers to teach them. Let them hear the sermons, the preaching, the teaching. Next verse. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if somebody will go to them from the dead, they will repent. Verse 31. But he said to him, if they won't listen to the teaching and the preaching of the good news, neither will they be persuaded if one rises from the dead. Powerful. Next verse. Matthew 25, 41. Well, I'm a visitor here today, Pastor. I'm watching online, and I just don't see how you guys could serve a God that would send people to hell. Well, great question, but he never sent anybody to hell. They have a choice, eternal punishment or eternal life. The good news accepted, the good news rejected. Look at this verse. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. That's hell. Look what hell was prepared for. For the devil and angels. Hell was never prepared for human beings. Hell was prepared, according to this verse, if you believe your Bible, for the devil and one-third of the angels that rebelled with him. But those who don't choose God automatically choose the devil. Those who reject the good news will result in eternal punishment and damnation. That's why, what should the church be doing right now? Getting stronger, getting bolder, having greater compassion, being motivated, and the three things I gave you. We need to know what we believe. We need to be skillful with our speech. And number three, pray for opportunities every day to share our faith with a dying, crying, sighing world. Amen, church? For us at this church, our community, it's not survival, it's going to be revival. Amen. I'm done. Did you get something? Give the Lord a praise. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can praise him on the way up. You know, thank you, Lord. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for Jesus today. Amen, everybody. Thank you for the good news, God. Thank you for the gospel. Amen. Would you bow your heads? No one moving. Everybody online, you see, Pastor, I don't know God, but I want to know God. I don't want religion, but I want a relationship. I want to be ready. I want to live ready. I want to be ready for God to use me to share the good news and the hope that comes from serving, living, giving my life to you. Pray for me. Or you might be watching, you say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, but through COVID, I need to reset my life. I need to get back on track. I realize what I should be doing is not belly aching or murmuring or complaining or feeling sorry for myself. I should be busy about the Master's business. I should be busy about the Great Commission. I should be going into all the world every day and telling people the good news, the good news, the good news. If that's you, punch the button on your smartphone, your computer, your iPad, your laptop, because you can't come forward here, but you need to do something. Now in this room, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Same thing. You'd say, Pastor, include me in the prayer. Today, everything changes for me. Pastor, I want God. I need God. I want God to be a center of my life. I want to live for God. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I want to know that I've got eternal life. I want to know when I die where I'm going to go. I want to have this hope that will get me through a hostile world right now. I want to know where I'm going to spend eternity. Or Pastor, same thing, but Pastor, I'm already born again. I love the Lord, but I need to reset my life today. Pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's going to come to you, but you want to be included in our corporate prayer. Lift your hand up, would you, in every section. Just wave it at me. Just wave it at me. This is the time now where not to refuse the good news, but to accept the good news. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You could put your hands down now. All right, let's all pray together. Sit with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I change my mind. I want to go in a new direction. Forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now. Your love, your acceptance, and your forgiveness. I now have eternal life. I have a hope, a living hope on the inside. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you look up and celebrate with heaven?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.